This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I'm a contributor at ninernoise.com, and here with me, associate editor of the site, Peter Panacea. Peter, how's it going?
It's going forward, onward, and upward. It's the doldrums of the NFL offseason. And yeah. I mean, there's still so much talk about all things like Jimmy Garoppolo, and now that Baker Mayfield's moved, and you should be bored, but you're not. Here we are.
Never bored. Baker Mayfield coming to my town. Well, close to my town where I live down here in the Carolinas. That'll be interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah. Is he moving into that house next?
No. Somebody else moved in, unfortunately. So sorry, Baker. You'll have to find some other modest place.
I know you were reserving that. Jimmy Garoppolo, I guess he was too late.
People snaked it from under me. He's my favorite thing of the whole situation. I don't know if you saw this, and I know that this is not a Panthers podcast, but Matt Rhule, I believe, said that it's an open quarterback competition between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Okay. Nobody believes that that's true, right? Like, nobody's that dumb. Are they? Like,
yeah. Matt Rhule, you are on the hot seat for a reason.
So yeah.
Like, make of that what you will.
Like, I mean, Baker Mayfield has not set the world on fire during his tenure in the NFL, but he has been better than Sam Darnold has been during that same period.
I have been better than Sam Darnold during that period.
Well, you know, all those ghosts.
I don't see ghosts.
All those ghosts are coming.
Yeah, I haven't seen one yet. Yeah.
So we'll see how that works. The 49ers, of course, will get to see the Panthers here in Charlotte in week 5, I think, is it's like the first week of October, I believe. Week 4, week 5. They'll be down here for a couple of weeks, so that'd be really cool. I don't know if I'm going yet, mostly because I have a real problem with spending $175 to sit on the surface of the sun. Which, if you've ever been to Bank of America Stadium down here in Charlotte, it's the upper deck is super upper. Let's just say that it's very, very, very high up there, and it makes me squeamy. So we'll see how it goes. So that certainly lends itself to more conversation about the Garoppolo thing, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. We do have a guest to introduce, and that's a nice little segue into what we're gonna the bulk of the podcast for today will be a guest, one Mr. Al Sacco. Peter, you want to talk a little bit about Al? I know you guys go way back, so you can introduce him a little bit.
I was so stoked for this. So yeah, Al, it's been like 10 years ago or something like that, back when I guess 49ers Twitter was still relatively new, whatever. I just started writing for Bleacher Report, and like this guy Al is like, dude, check this guy Peter out. He's got like a good following on Twitter, and he's like sharing my stuff and saying, dude, you do great stuff, this is awesome. And I'm like, thanks, man. Like, who are you? But like, yeah, no, Al and I became buddies and friends, and he brought me over to 49ers Web Zone for quite some time. And Al, of course, has had himself a great career doing this. He's currently doing the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle podcast. You've seen him on Niners Wire. He's written for KMBR, the 49ers flagship station, and just an all-around great dude. You know, like, if you want stats, if you want smart takes, not just like hot takes, I mean, you want backed up certifiably good opinions that are sharp, Al's your guy. And like I said, great at all that football stuff, even a better dude. So I was just stoked to have him on here.
Yeah, awesome. That's for sure. And those are my favorite types of opinions, to be honest, is, you know, those ones that are supported by factual evidence and things that you can actually see happening on the football field. So I'm in favor of those things. We're gonna talk with Al about all things 49ers, but mostly Jimmy Garoppolo, because let's be honest, at this point, that it's really the at this point in the offseason, it's two things that we know for sure that we still have questions about, and it's Garoppolo and it's Debo Samuel, and we're going to get into that with Al. So I say, without further ado, let's go ahead and transition into that interview with Al Sacco. All right. Joining the Niner Noise podcast this evening is the host of the No Huddle podcast, Al Sacco. Al, how's it going? And thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's going great, man. I'm glad to be here. The season's around the corner and I'm starting to get that itch for football again. So it's good to be talking about it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We're definitely excited to get some people on the podcast and to be talking about different things. So I think the very obvious place to start is the place that we did not think we were still going to be talking about at this particular juncture in the off season. When the season ended, you know, back in January, we were like, this whole quarterback thing is going to be a done and dusted topic by the time, you know, before the summer starts for sure. Right. Like no one in their right mind thought this would still be going on. But of course, the big news is this week is that Jimmy Garoppolo has been throwing a football for a couple of weeks now. So I guess the obvious question is, so what do you think is going to be where do you think this ends, this Jimmy Garoppolo saga with the 49ers? Is this something that we're going to be dealing with through the rest of the summer, or what thoughts do you have about where this is going?
You know, this thing has been, it just seems like it's been 10 years at this point. And it started going back to last offseason, where they were obviously trying to move on the whole offseason. Matthew Stafford thing falls through. The Deshaun Watson thing falls through. They check into other people. Ultimately, they decide to make a trade for Trey Lance. For whatever reason, because of the finger, whatever it was, Lance wasn't quite ready. So they roll back with Garoppolo, thinking, okay, end of the season, we're going to be done with it. They're going to trade him. He gets hurt, and obviously here we are a year and a half later, whatever it's been, and we're still waiting to get rid of Jimmy. I don't know where this is going to go, because I'm not sure what the market is. I'm not sure where the Niners are in terms of their headspace with him. Are they just going to cut him? I mean, would they really just do that? When is Jimmy's side going to start pushing for something to happen? Because there's no way he's going to want to sit in limbo. There's right. No way. At some point, his side is going to start pushing. But I think here are the options you have right now. Seattle is out there. I find it hard to believe that they're going to trade him to the Seahawks. Not because like they're afraid of him or anything like that. It's just so much more drama already that you already need. Really, you're going to trade him to the team that you've lost to 13 times in the division. It just seems like a weird thing. Do I think Seattle might be interested in him if he was cut? Sure, absolutely. But in terms of a trade, I don't know. Cleveland will have to see with the Watson stuff, but I'm get from what I've seen, I don't think Watson's going to be suspended to the point where they're going to trade for, you know, a big time quarterback like that. They probably just roll up Brissett for 4 to 6 weeks if they had to do that. The Texans are a team that if they're not sold on Davis Mills, maybe they would be a team. But you know, Jimmy's got, was it $26 million he's owed? I know it's not guaranteed, but are the Niners going to eat some of that? I don't know, but it's getting to the point. I'll tell you guys, he can't be on the roster. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because, listen, he is loved in the locker room. That is a fact. I know that for a fact, that he is very well respected and liked in that locker room. And if you're going to hand the keys over to Trey Lance and you mortgage the future for Trey Lance, so you're going to do that, you can't have him there sort of behind Trey's shoulder. And because Trey's going to struggle, the struggles are going to happen. He's a young quarterback. You can't really have Garoppolo there. Look at all the drama that happened this year with the two QBs. This team was a lost team through the first 8 weeks when they were 3-5. Something was wrong. And then it seemed like Kyle kind of pulled the reins back on the two QB thing, kind of said, okay, we're going to run with Jimmy. Trey didn't play and the team sort of looked like they kind of got their act together, but you can't go into the season with that kind of circus atmosphere again. So he can't be there. I just, for me to say what's going to happen right now, I don't know. I don't know that anyone does. I don't think they can allow him to be there, but whether that's a trade that somehow facilitates or they have to ultimately cut him, I don't know, but I don't think he's going to be there at least very far in the camp.
Yeah. Peter, do you have any?
No, I got to fully 100% endorse that. And it's,
it's gotten to the point, and Al, I know you and Zane were saying this over on the No Huddle podcast for so much of last season, just how much of a circus it was. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers, they can't afford to repeat this, right? I mean, they jumped off the diving board with Trey Lance. You know, they're not dipping their toes in the water. They flat out jumped off and said, hey, we're fully committing, trading all those picks to move up for him. Okay, I get the 1 year sit behind Jimmy, you know, you didn't have a ton of college experience. All right, fine, whatever. I get that. But you got to commit. And the market's slow. What team do you see out there, you know, with the Browns and the Watson thing? Seattle, okay, like possibly, but, you know, I mean, I guess if somehow the 49ers knew that Seattle was going to pluck Jimmy off the waiver wire just like that, then all right, maybe you try to engineer some sort of trade, get something in return. But again, why would Seattle want to take on, you know, 25 plus million in post trade salary? And for the Niners to do something like what the Browns did with Bakerfield going to Carolina, where they're actually paying him to play against them to open up the season, that would be a travesty upon a travesty if the 49ers are actually paying a portion of Garoppolo's salary to go away. And if you're only going to get something marginal in return, you know, like a fifth round pick or something like that, just cut your losses. I mean, it's not like 1.2 million or something like that, and that's it. No sense to that whatsoever. So yeah, I think the 49ers, if they got to make the decision on it, you're getting down to week one. Garoppolo's camp, as you said, push for something. Hey, Donnie's going, hey, let my guy go. Let him just go sign it, best deal he can. Even if it's a backup, you know, some guys have to wait a year to get their careers back on track. Look at Mitchell Trubisky or something like that. But I don't know. I can't see him any capacity whatsoever being on the roster in week one. That circus just can't come back.
Yeah, and it's just interesting because I don't think Garoppolo is as bad as some people think he is, and I don't think he's as good as some people think he is. He's just sort of a mid starter, which is fine, which is fine. But I wonder if teams think that, like, maybe, you know, that Kyle Shanahan acts them out, you know, maybe that's all he could do. But I think the frustrating thing is when people sort of not living in reality, and I guess that's what kind of gets to me, because I don't dislike Jimmy. People, I do, but I do not. What gets me is that the 49ers told you everything you need to know last offseason when they tried the whole offseason to move on from him. They told you what you need to know. He's, in their eyes, he's not their answer. They're looking to move on. And there's just been this kind of like denial from some people. And it's still happening in the media where you hear like, oh, Jimmy, you know, they should just keep him. He should start. He's their best option. They made maybe the biggest trade in history to bring in Trey Lance. If you don't give him the keys now, when? You have to re-sign Nick Bosa. You have to re-sign Deebo Samuel. You have these, you know, these big contracts you want to keep, and you could do that with a rookie quarterback. If you don't give him the keys now, when? What, year four? When are you going to do it? So they may take some lumps this year. It may happen, but the reality of the situation, I always talk about that, is the Niners wanted to move on from him. They have, and now it's just for the injury has, you know, made it take longer than it should. But it's going to happen. This is Trey Lance's team. You know, for better or for worse, we'll see. We'll see. Nobody knows. We'll see. But right now, this is Trey's team. And Jimmy, I would think in the next 2 to 3 weeks, will be elsewhere.
Yeah, one of the things, too, just kind of piggyback off that, I was talking to a colleague over here at FanSided who was wondering, hey, is this kind of turning into a Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers type thing, right? Yeah, I mean, the Packers stunned everybody by drafting Jordan Love. I mean, we don't have to go too far back to remember that. Trey Lance isn't replacing a future Hall of Famer. I mean, there's your difference, right? Aaron Rodgers is a little bit better of a quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. And to your point, yeah, Garoppolo, I think, is marginally good when he's at his best. Not great, not wonderful. He's not terrible, but Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. So, again, this is – you're right. It's Trey Lance's team going forward. You have to take advantage of that rookie contract. The 49ers have jumped in. You know, they're flying to the diving board, right? You know, they're going to hit the water soon and dive in. So – yeah, I don't know. Robert, I left you out of the equation on this. I probably cut you off.
You're good. You're good.
You got to speak up on this, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything that you guys are saying is accurate. I mean, the circus cannot continue. For every reason that you guys said, also just the weird bizarreness of the fact that Garoppolo was like, all right, well, see you guys later at the end of the season. And then if they parade him back in there just to be the backup, it just seems ridiculous.
When he said he wouldn't wish that season on anybody. Yeah.
Right. And then we're going to do that again, except for in the worst position, because now he's the backup, like having to wait and wait around to possibly play when he can go do that. Because that's where he is right now at this point, right? There's no place for him to start immediately, more than likely. Even if they release him, he's going to go somewhere and sit on the bench and be a backup and be a veteran presence for some team that has maybe a young quarterback that just could use the veteran presence. So, or maybe he gets an opportunity to play a little bit. And, I hate to compare him to Trubisky, but that's kind of the situation as it is. And John Lynch keeps saying over and over again, okay, you don't cut good players. You don't cut good players, but at some point you gotta realize paying that guy $26 million to sit on your bench is a lot worse than paying him $1.5 million and shipping him off and being like, okay, well, thanks for the memories kind of thing. So yeah. That's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah. And I think Peter, to your point too, with the Jordan Love thing, the difference I think with the Niners mortgaged their future to get Lance. Like, they traded multiple first round picks to move up to make that deal. If it was a thing where I think if they stayed at 12 and took Mac Jones, for example, I think you can kind of buy yourself a couple years if you wanted to, okay.
We don't want to talk about it.
You fell in our laps. Yeah. But like, I think too, because they gave up so much, right? Like, that even puts even more emphasis on, like, you got to give the guy the keys. You mortgage your future for him. You didn't just draft him. You mortgage the future. It's time to give him the keys.
Yes. Are you as concerned about Trey Lance's fitness of the arm fatigue?
Arm fatigue. Get it right. Come on.
Yeah.
I can't. You got. And listen, I know, like, a lot, Mike Silver took a lot of heat from the 49ers community. I love Mike Silver. He's been great to me. He's come on my show. He's been nothing but nice to me. I'm not saying anything bad about Mike. Mike just said what he heard or whatever. I totally get that. And in terms of the story, all right, look at it this way. Trey Lance didn't play football 2 years ago. Would he play a game? So he goes from not playing football to going to the rigors of an NFL season. If he had some arm soreness or he had to sort of get back in shape, that doesn't sound crazy to me at all. I mean, I would be surprised if that didn't happen. I mean, I think that probably happens with guys. You don't usually hear it, but I know a lot of rookies, when they come from college, it's a longer season. It's more of a grind, and their bodies have to adjust. So I'm not super good with that. Steve Young was on Mayoko's podcast and I listened to it today, and he had just such a rational, just level-headed take on Lance, where he said, and I'll paraphrase, I don't remember exactly what he said, but look, we're not going to know after three games what Trey Lance is. We may not even know after the season what Trey Lance is. Trey Lance has to go through ups and downs. He has to play in big games. He has to throw a 4-interception game and get booted home and get past that. He has to maybe play good for a few games, have his head get big, and then get knocked down again. He has so many things that he has to go through before we can say what Trey Lance is. And what everybody's saying now, like, he's not ready, he's not this. Nobody has any idea. Nobody has seen this guy at football field. He was 21 years old last year. It's well, November, December, whatever it was. And you cannot judge a 21-year-old rookie who literally did not play the season before after just a few games. We don't know. Do I think Trey Lance could be a good quarterback? Yes. He's got all the tools. He's in the right system. But we don't know. So I just think all the things we're hearing now, it's a long off season. I think people just kind of say things to say things, but Benjamin Albright, who's another guy that, like, I think his stuff has been pretty accurate and he's pretty trustworthy. He said it's all BS, with a lot of this too. So I kind of thought Silver was maybe just kind of talking off the cuff, and maybe it got read into a little much. And Mayoko heard some stuff too about Lance's arm last year, but again, that's natural. He didn't play the season before, so maybe they're just like, hey, we're gonna pitch count him, we're gonna watch it. But it's turned into this, like, oh man, he's got arm problems. Like, and I just think that's a little bit ridiculous. I understand people need, people want interactions and people want to drive clicks and things like that. But like, the answer for Lance, whenever anybody in the world right now asks about him, is we'll see. And I know that's not, the sexy thing to say or what people may want to read, but that's the level-headed answer. What's Trey Lance going to be in 2022? We'll see. Is Trey Lance the answer at quarterback? We'll see. We're going to find out. I don't think anybody knows. And again, that's not the, maybe that's not the interesting thing to say, but I think that's the level-headed thing to say. And when, if he comes out and he struggles the first four or five games, okay. It just kind of is what it is, but they're not going to ask him to sling it 40 times. Jimmy Garoppolo had 1970s passing numbers in the playoffs, and they made it to the NFC Championship game. So this team isn't built around a QB throwing for 350 yards. He can hand off 40 times, and just he just doesn't he can't make the mistakes that Nick Mullins did, right? Where Nick Mullins literally cost them games. Like, he can't do that. But if he just sort of steers the ship, they're going to be fine. And maybe by the end of the season, in year three or whatever it is, he can ascend to, you know, a higher level QB. But we'll see. I'm not worried about the arm fatigue. I'm not worried about the bumps. I just want to see him develop this year. I think that's kind of where I am with it.
Yeah. Spot on.
Right. And for sure.
Yeah. It's just like, Garoppolo, again, if we're going back to kind of the average quarterback take, right? When he's been healthy, the 49ers have gone to two NFC championship games and one Super Bowl. And Garoppolo, and granted, 2019 Garoppolo had some good games. You think about that Saints game and that one Cardinals game where everybody was absent, but like, Lance needs to be just at that level. Like, if you can literally just be a game manager, don't mess up. The ground game's got to be fine, especially if the offensive line is halfway decent. You know, you've got plenty of weapons on, you know, on the perimeter, and, you know, blue chip players like Kittle and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who I think is going to take a pretty big leap forward with Lance under center. I think those two actually work a lot better than Garoppolo and Ayuk. The defense is fine. I'm looking at the defense saying that's all three levels. It's fine. It's weird. I mean, there's holes. Yep. You can worry about Talanoa Vanga a little bit, straight line speed, athletic ability. But if that's your biggest concern, it's not the worst thing you've ever had. So if Lance is literally just at a par level, you know, it doesn't have to be great. Can go through those games where he makes some mistakes. And yeah, sure. Guess what? Cost your team a game or two. Throw some interceptions. I think it was Kyle Posey over at Niners Nation who wrote about that, and he actually said one stat that's kind of concerning is Lance didn't throw interceptions at the college level. I think he threw one in like that one game in 2020, but like, maybe that's cool, but maybe it's also like, dude, take some more risks, like take some chances. Like, sometimes an interception's not a bad play if you're like chucking it down the field in one-on-one coverage and, you know, you just get beat by a better defensive play, whatever. The team's enough to elevate him. This isn't a Justin Fields in Chicago situation where it's like, who's your N'Keal Harry's coming up? Okay. it's not that. So it's literally the context for them, for him to be okay and still have success is fully there. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Peter, we've said this a lot and I'll feel free to chime in on this, but 2022, while obviously we want them to be as good as they possibly can, but the hope is, because as you said, this is a mortgaged future type of thing, is that this is not just about 2022, but maybe about 2032. Like, this kid is still, he'll be 31, 32 years old in 2032. Like, he's still there as the starting quarterback for this team 10 years from now. That's the hope, like, that you're in like a Tom Brady with the Patriots type of situation where he was there for, you know, 18, 19 years or whatever it was. And they were competitive every year and they didn't win all the Super Bowls every year, but they were in the mix and that's what you want. And if that means he takes his lumps a little bit this year and maybe they, you know, miss the playoffs a little bit, but you see the development or something like that, I think we would take that as much as hard as it would be to go, you know, missing the playoffs after what happened last year. But if you told me the trade-off is, but now we know who our quarterback is for the next decade plus, I think most Niners fans would take that for sure.
Yeah, and that's a really good point too. I mean, I think people get caught up in the Super Bowl, like, when in reality, this team's made the playoffs five of the last 20 years. So, or right in around there. So what we need now is to be in the dance consistently. So if we do take a little bit of a step back this year, like you said, is that going to mean we're going to take two steps forward the next 4 or 5 years? And all of a sudden you're a perennial playoff team. You're the Packers, right? You're always giving yourself a chance. That's the big thing. I'm not caught either in the Super Bowl in 2022. However, I will say this. While this season may be a year, well, okay, we'll see. there is a window with the guys that they have. They have a hell of a core. Trent Williams, Kittle, yep. Warner, Debo. That window is not going to be open more than probably another like 3 years or so, because Williams is going to be older. Kittle, you know, when you're hitting 30, 31, he's probably not going to be the same dude. Warner's still relatively young, but you know, those guys probably are in their peak years now is what I'm saying. Even Bosa is probably in his peak years, you know, within these 3 years. So you do have to take advantage of that at the same time. So this year we'll see, but yeah, I think those next couple of years, they have to start building that perennial playoff team, but you have some serious pieces right now. So I think there is a little bit of pressure to stay on that, to keep your foot on the gas. And that's one thing that kind of, not to kind of get off topic, but I guess it kind of bothered me a little bit when Lynch said this offseason, like, oh, maybe this year, this offseason, we take our foot off the gas a little bit. So I think about that quote and I'm like, well, maybe they see, you know, Lance, it's a year to get Lance's feet wet. Maybe they'll get the, they'll put their foot on the gas again in 2023. But I feel like the NFL is kind of changing. The teams that are sort of in the mix now, you know, the Bucs, the Bills, the Chargers, the Broncos, obviously the Rams, their foot is on the gas, right? And the team like the Rams who are in your own division, their foot is always on the gas. So when he said that, I was kind of like, really, dude? Like, you got this great roster. And if you pushed for, and I don't know what they did, or but if you pushed for a Chandler Jones or a Von Miller, you know what I mean? Just guys like that. Like, you were so close last year with mediocre quarterback play. Like, if you just maybe pushed a little, maybe you could, you know, that you gotta get one soon. It's been since 1994. So that did bother me a little bit, but I still think they're in good shape. But yeah, the next 4 or 5 years are going to tell us a lot in terms of if this worked and if this can be a perennial playoff team.
Yeah, it's, sure. I remember you said this, Al, I think it was a year ago when you were looking at the 49ers going into 2021. They're like, all right, you know, it's not a Super Bowl team. But you got some early on in the course during that 3-5 start, it was like, nope, they're sure not. But you know, I think the balance of overall talent, you know, the blue chip players you just mentioned, and a little bit of luck, still managed to get the 49ers into an NFC championship game and within a few minutes of winning it.
Yeah.
That's that window that, right, if you were John Lynch, and it kind of goes back to, you know, when I start thinking of whether or not the 49ers mismanaged this whole Jimmy Garoppolo situation, if literally at the end of the season, you know, obviously maybe even before the, I don't know, there's physicals involved and I'm probably overlooking something, but at the soonest possible opportunity, you say, hey, we can't trade you. We've reached the trade deadline, whatever. I don't know. Parting ways, and let's free up some of that money and let's go out after some of these big ticket items. You know, Trey Lance is a rookie. That's cool, but he's also going to need some help. Go out there and find guys, even some guys who might just be rotational cheap players. They're still out there, you know, Ndamukong Suh's still out there as an interior rotational guy. Can he help you on a, you know, a cheap deal? Sure. You want to bring back Jaquaski Tart, right? Like the Eagles signed him for what? I think $2 million. Like, sure, you know, everybody thinks about that dropped arm punt from Matthew Stafford, but the Niners don't make that game if Tart doesn't make that tackle against the Packers the week before. So
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Like, those are some of the moves that I'm kind of like, I wish the 49ers would be more aggressive. You're in a division with the Rams who do nothing but be aggressive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the talent's there enough to still do just fine. But I hope in a year's time, we're not looking back and saying, hey, Trey Lance was playing good enough, but he needed that closer in the pass rush department in the fourth quarter of, you know, the NFC championship game or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think last year was one of those seasons, and it's crazy to say, because, you know, if two different things happen, well, one different thing happens, if maybe Tart just makes an interception, the Niners might have won the Super Bowl, but last year was, you know, and it's crazy to say what I'm about to say, but last year was also kind of super, it might have been super fluky in the way that, okay, they were 3-5 and things looked bad, right? And I think three things changed. I think that Kyle committed to Jimmy, which sort of got the locker room, sort of got their heads straight. And I think everybody was kind of like, all right, we don't have to worry about the drama. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is Debo Samuel literally put the offense on his back. I don't know that I've ever seen a player do that, what he did. And it's unfair to ask him to do that again. I'm not saying he can't, but he literally put that team on his back, the offense. And the third thing that happened that I didn't see happening was D'Amico Ryan's just turning into a stud defensive coordinator or whatever it was, the defense in the second half of the season. That defense, the second half of the season, may have been the best in the NFL. 75 mm-hmm. rushing yards a game or whatever it was, 18 turnovers over the last 12 games, 17 and a half points they gave up. They were dominant. They had Stafford shook in the last game of the season. They had Prescott shook in the playoffs. They had Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you can say Rodgers ever shook, but he certainly didn't do very well in the divisional series. That defense was dominant. If that can carry over again, I think they're okay. If DJ Jones hurts more than people think it will, because they can't stop the run as well. If Hufanga struggles, right? I actually looked at guys they picked up in Hyder and Ture, but like maybe if you don't have another guy like, you know, like an Arden Key or Ibukam doesn't do what he did, could that make the defense take a step back? Sure. And I know the quarterback will be different, but that offense last year was not super good. And you look at things that happened throughout the season, even like they won that game in Cincinnati, right? Well, Jimmy Garoppolo threw an interception that would have lost the game. It went through the guy's hands, right? You know, things like that, like fluky things happen that like, and they came back and won, give them credit, but it was kind of a super fluky season. And then the defense coming together. So I hope that didn't lull sort of the front office into thinking like, oh no, we're super close, because also you may be super close, but also a lot of that might have been fluky the other way. Right. And this is just kind of the way my mind works, because I always think worst case scenario, but again, we're going to find out, we're going to see. And in all these things I'm talking about, maybe just the team came together and Al, you're stupid. They came together. It looks great now. Or maybe there were issues and there were some fluky things that sort of pushed them over the top. We'll see. But it was crazy because like you said, Peter, yeah, I didn't think it was a playoff team. I saw issues going into the season and they were 3-5. And I'm like, yeah, everything I thought is kind of coming. And then Debo happened and Ryan's happened and the season just turned around, and it was a fun one for sure. So, but I'm looking for the Shanahan regime to kind of just get consistent now. All right. You made a Super Bowl, you had injuries, you made the playoffs, you made the NFC championship game. Now let's be the Packers, you know, let's be like the Steelers in a normal, you know, let's be, I don't want to say the Patriots or the 80s, 90s, Niners. You don't want to say a dynasty. Just be a perennial playoff team. That's all I'm asking. You know, like be in the dance every year, be in the conversation every year, give yourself a chance every year. That's where I think the next step is for them.
Absolutely. And don't worry, you weren't the only one. I think Peter and I pretty much pronounced the team last year dead about that 3-5, yeah. 3-6.
After that Cardinals game, yeah. Right? It couldn't have gotten, that was rock.
Yeah, five. We were like, okay, well, this team is horrible. Yeah. They're not. I think we even said they were a bad football team, like, which is just crazy to think, like, to go from this is a bad football team to, oh, they're in the playoffs and they're in the NFC championship game. And I agree with you. I think if they had found a way to beat the Rams, I think they would have beat the Bengals again and won the Super Bowl, which would have put us in we would have been having a completely different conversation right now if Garoppolo had managed to get them into the Super Bowl and win it somehow. That's just another like multiversal type of conversation.
I don't want to think about that. I was about to say all the people saying, no, your best option. Oh, wow.
Can you imagine if they had won the Super Bowl, what would have happened? I thought about that a lot when they were going into the NFC championship game. I was like, okay, I really want them to win, but also we have this kid who's supposed to be our quarterback for the next decade or so, and what happens if we win the Super Bowl with the guy that we're trying to replace him? Oh gosh. You know, if you want to hurt your brain for a little bit, there's something to
that's about. Doctor Strange 3 is that movie, is gonna be that movie.
Yeah, there we go. In the 49ers. There we go. I like it. So one last question, if we might. The other big circus element of this offseason, of course, is the Debo Samuel situation. Either of you have any thoughts on, it seems that things have died down. Does it feel to you like we're moving into a contract extension happening around training camp time? Is that what we're thinking here?
Yeah. I mean, I think what kind of bothers me is I think the Garoppolo contract probably has something to do with it, right? I kind of feel like probably. Maybe they're waiting for that money to go. But you looked at the Warner contract and the Kittle contract, and they were done late July, early August. So maybe something will get done. The thing that is crazy to me is just sort of how Debo wanted to leave out of the blue. Like he was just sort of like all of a sudden he wasn't feeling the Niners, but he's been really quiet, which makes me think, you know, maybe on the back end things are happening. But the Niners are kind of weird with contracts, right? I mean, they want to do their contracts and maybe they kind of lowball at first. And you look at what happened with Buckner. I know, but I had heard whispers a while before Buckner got traded that wasn't going well. And I was like, oh, I thought to myself, they're going to figure it out. And then all of a sudden they don't. And you're like, oh, okay. And the Niners kind of do things the way they want to do things. The only person they ever really, I guess, sort of super were aggressive overpaid with was kind of maybe Trent Williams, right? Everything else is kind of like, you know, yeah. It's their contract, well, but I think
Kyle Juszczyk.
Right. But that's the thing too, with them too. They will pay like sort of weird positions. Like they pay Robbie Gould a lot of money. They play Juszczyk a lot of money. Like they'll, right. But it's not big guaranteed money. Like they're going to have to do both, which I'm really interested to see what happens there. But they did it with Williams because I know Kyle Shanahan stepped in and was kind of like, do it. I'm really, really interested to see what happens. I think if Debo is willing, they're going to get that done. The only thing that worries me a little bit is if they piss him off again somehow and he's like, you know what, hell with this. But I think it's so late in the game right now. I feel like they're going to get something done. And as long as I'll feel better, though, because, again, I'm a constant pessimist. I'll feel better when he's in camp. If he's in camp and whatever, I'm like, all right, we're good to go. If camp comes and he's holding out or things are going on, I'm going to kind of be like, oh, you know, it can get a little ugly because they need him, man. They definitely need him.
Yeah, it's that's going to be the kicker. I wouldn't be surprised if Debo does some one of those, like kind of the TJ Watt play from last year, the hold in. Yeah, I think, what is it? Joel Corey, who's over at CBS Sports, a former agent, he wrote about this and he was saying that, you know, if a player skips out on training camp, I think if it's on a rookie contract, it's like, what, $40,000 a day? So you might see another thing. Minicamp was huge. Debo Samuel showing up, because the 49ers did, if he didn't show up, the 49ers could have fined him, but they didn't have to. And from my understanding, from what Joel Corey was writing out, is that if Debo doesn't show up to training camp, the 49ers have to fine him. It's part of the CBA. So I'm curious to see how that relationship goes from there. I'm encouraged with Kyle Shanahan's words saying that he never thought that the relationship got too far, you know, irreparable. Him and Debo are close, but I don't know. There was Brandon Ayuk saying something on Instagram about, hey, the number one returning wide receiver tandem, right? Like, hooray. And Debo's like, hooray. I don't know what he said exactly on Instagram, but, you know, aside from Buckner, the Niners do have a pretty good history of rewarding a lot of their own in-house players that have come up. Kittle, Warner, Eric Armstead, you know, Jimmy Ward too. It's just always, you know, people are ready to just crucify Jimmy Ward a number of years ago. And he's probably one of the most underrated players in the game. So the Niners have a history of doing that, and that's good. But Al, to your point, like they don't like dishing out large amounts of guaranteed money. I think it was Matt Miller of ESPN saying that, like, he'd heard, you know, discussing with other players around the league or agents or whatever, you know, which team is always the most difficult to negotiate with. And they, a lot of times the 49ers come up as an answer, probably because of Parag Marate. And, you know, and one side it's good because it's like, all right, the 49ers are always going to be shrewd at doing business. On the other side, you run into these Debo situations. Sometimes you just got to open up the checkbook for your top offensive weapon and just be like, hey, cool, what do you want? Sweet, we'll better it, you know, that sort of thing. So otherwise you run the risk of pissing people off. And yeah, the 49ers contractually could control him for, you know, franchise tag years and everything, but that just pisses people off and it's going to send the wrong message. Do you really want a disgruntled Debo Samuel in the locker room like the next year, maybe two? No, you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have to get it. They have to hopefully get this done. But you know, we'll see, a couple of weeks, guys. We'll see where we are.
Yeah, man. That's, it'll be interesting. Never a dull moment in 49ers land, apparently. At least over the last several off seasons, it feels like it's just never ending. But Al, I want to say thanks to you for joining us tonight and for being part of the podcast. We appreciate your thoughts. And anytime you want to come back, just let us know.
Yeah. Hey, Al, before you go, tell everybody where we can find you. I know where I can find you.
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter. I'm at LSacco49. And the show is going to come back, I think, next week. We kind of take the off season off because I don't know. I need a break. But we'll be back next week. And then we're going to probably be there through the season again. It's always fun to do. So yeah, there'll be a lot of Al Sacco for better or worse.
That's what the world needs. I tell you, it's Al Sacco. Go check out Zane Knockby as well. And I understand that the No Huddle podcast has a third member in tow.
So, you know, Zane and I, it's tough. Not gonna lie, it's tough to kind of get shows, no family commitments and stuff like that. And we had Brian Rennick sort of, because again, this off season, I was kind of like, I need a break, guys. And Brian Rennick came out. He did such a good job that we were like, hey, let's bring him on the show and we can be a three-man squad, or just if one of us can't make it, Brian's in there. So I'm excited. It's a little, you know, we've been doing it for a while with Zane and I, and it's, except for the year I was gone with KMBR and then we had Stats and Levin, but it's going to be a three-man show again for, you know, with us, and it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to something a little bit different and seeing what Brian
is. It's a test pod. So everybody out there be able to, it's part of my subscribe list. You know, anytime a new episode comes out,
that means a lot.
Must listen. So, you know, if you're liking the Niner Noise podcast, be sure to hit subscribe on that, the No Huddle podcast part of the 49ers web zone too.
All right, we are back. Want to thank Al Sacco for joining us on this episode. That was a really great interview. I really like talking with him. He seems like a smart, level-headed guy. You never can tell exactly what's going to happen when you bring up the name Jimmy Garoppolo to 49ers fans. You just don't know what's going to happen, right? Like they could be on any side of the issue. And so I'd really appreciate it. His level-headed take on the situation, and he seems to be very well versed in what's going on. So I appreciated that. Did you have any final wrap up thoughts on that, Peter?
Al's rad. Go check out the 49ers No Huddle podcast. It's like I said, it's a must subscribe. You got to listen to it. If you like this podcast, you'll like that one too. It's well worth your time.
Excellent. Good stuff. I'm definitely looking forward to, getting into out of the doldrums of the off season. We're just a couple of weeks away from training camp, and I'm looking forward to being able to talk about like actual football related things, you know, training camp battles and all that kind of stuff, and just to really start to see how this team is going to shake up. Like Al said several times throughout that interview, we'll see. You know, I think that's the good mantra here for the rest of the off season as we head into the regular season. So looking forward to that coming up here pretty soon.
I was just saying how weird it is during the off season, you run out of content to talk about, and what we're talking about, Heinz Field over in Pittsburgh being renamed.
And, ooh, fun stuff.
And yeah, we're talking about that, and it's like, okay, let's look at I don't know, the 2023 draft, or let's go back and redraft, you know, the 1985 draft. And it's like, oh, give me 2 weeks. It's all I need. 2 weeks and we can start camp.
Yeah, man, for sure. That's all good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for the football season to really kick into gear. Maybe that's unfounded. I don't know. Maybe my excitement will lead to nothing, but I think it'll be all good, but we'll get into all that stuff as we finish up getting through the training camp and start to really look at the season. But until then, this is what we have. So hopefully good news on the horizon, but there we go. Any final words before I wrap things up here, Peter?
It's getting close to baby time for me. So training camp, preseason, baby. All gonna be happening at the same time. So
a few things going on there.
A few things going on. Yep. So it'll be a busy few weeks. So I'm sure football fans are going, how did you plan it that way where your son's gonna be born right in the start of the football season? And you know what? Tough.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, you're raising him right, right?
You know, there you okay. go. That's right.
You know, he's 2 weeks old. All right, let me introduce you. This is called a 49ers uniform. You're indoctrinated early.
You got to love it. You got to love it. Cool deal. All right. Well, we're excited for you, Peter, and we'll look forward to good news on that front as well. So, and you all out there in podcast land, thanks as always for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis, and even stuff about, you know, renaming Levi Stadium, maybe. I'm not sure. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And if you drop a review in there, include a question, we'll be sure to give you a shout out on air and answer that question. And of course, please continue to share the podcast with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.